Welcome to the Beyond.
He's not recording. Oh, yes, he is recording.
Well, usually we talk beforehand.
I know.
We did all our talking already.
I know.
And it was talking that we probably should not put on the podcast. So.
I know. Well, you know, it is what it is.
Someday.
Sometimes we've got it, and sometimes we've got it even better.
Sometimes the juice is flowing.
Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we are exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Hello, hello.
Hi. All right.
That's like your sign-on.
I like it. Hello, hello.
Yes.
Hello, hello.
Yeah. That's how we're coming up with our own catchphrases.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. You can sell a t-shirt.
Gobble, gobble. Hello, hello.
That's us. Hello, hello on it.
Mean, yes. It's the same word. Jingle, jingle. I mean, seriously, same word twice. Yeah. What's my problem?
That's Katie's thing. Just repeating words. That's my shtick.
All right, well, today...
Also, laughing hysterically at things that aren't that funny.
And begging the table.
Okay, really?
Sometimes that's my fault, but I blame Katie when I do it.
Well, today we are going to take a look at some Christian cliches that all of us should probably stop saying and stop putting out into the world.
Yeah.
Please.
For the benefit of all, frankly.
For the benefit of all. But before we get to our cliches,
okay.
I have some news for us to look at here.
Excellent. I love news.
All right, we're going to talk about Instagram. You know, we have our own Instagram
account. We do. Do you know what our Instagram handle is, Patrick?
I do. Beyond underscore Sunday.
There it is.
Yes. I knew that, too.
We're going to have to...
Very proud of myself.
We're going to have to, like, Instagram this moment right here.
Yes. Well, recently, there is a new Instagram post that is the most liked picture on Instagram. Did you know
ever?
About this?
I did not.
Yes.
Most liked ever.
Most liked ever. Do you
in
know
the history of Instagram, which
who,
like?
Do you know who the old record holder is?
I'm going to guess one of the Kardashians.
And you would be right.
I hate that I got that right.
It was...
I just died a little inside.
Kylie Jenner and posted a photo of her new daughter, her and her new daughter, Stormy. And that was the most liked
Stormy
Instagram photo until this week.
All right.
Or there's a new Instagram ruler. Yes. And do you know what it's a picture of?
Another Kardashian.
It is not a Kardashian.
Thank God. It's going to be worse than a Kardashian. Something with Beyonce. That's not worse than a Kardashian. That's not fair. I'm sorry, Beyonce. I know you listen. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It is actually an egg.
Picture. Wait, like a chicken egg?
Like a chicken egg.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
The name of the Instagram is World Record Egg. And they set out to get the most likes on this one photo of an egg. The Instagram only has one picture, and it's of this egg.
All right.
The Beyond Sunday podcast Instagram liked this egg.
Hey, we're part of a world record.
Yeah,
That's awesome.
I signed in to like the egg. So
how many likes do they now have?
They currently have, or at least as of yesterday.
Before we liked it, right? So we can add one.
Yeah, they had... And by yesterday, I mean last Tuesday.
So, yeah, January 15th. As of January 15th, 2019.
They had over 45 million likes
that is
on this egg.
And they just said, we want to get the world record for the most likes?
Yeah, it's world record egg.
And so people just liked it to be a part of a world record.
Yeah. Well, you can buy a t-shirt from them.
How many...
It says, I liked the egg.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. How many... How many likes? That's the word I'm like. How many likes did they have to get to beat Madam Jenner?
You know, I believe she had 18.5.
Oh, so they've like crushed it.
Oh, they're dominating.
Yeah.
This is setting a precedent.
So it's not like Miss Jenner's just going to take another picture of her daughter and suddenly she's going to be in the lead again. This is like, no, we're crushing this record for
awesome.
All records ever and ever. Really? It's awesome.
I think we need to
clarify what we mean by awesome.
I was a little disappointed because I thought it was the egg meme in which I found yesterday.
All right, Katie, what's the egg meme that
there's
you found
There's an egg
yesterday?
Meme, okay.
No, so the top of the memes has Easter eggs, and it says, you're April, and then the bottom half of the meme has Game of Thrones eggs, and it says, my April.
Dragon's eggs.
That's what I mean, dragon's eggs.
Yeah,
I was kind of excited, like, what?
I don't have
it wasn't that egg meme.
I don't have the data on that meme, on how many likes that one has gotten. But this does create, I read an article on Wired about basically viral marketing and what's now going to happen. Is this egg going to start advertising? Are they going to sell this account that has all these things? And there have been multiple copycat eggs out there.
Trying to beat this egg?
Trying to get their own, well, I'm sure they can't beat it, but they're trying to just get their own likes.
Sure.
You know, for whatever reason.
Do you have a printout of the picture of the egg?
Yeah, it's in black and white, but I can show you.
We'll have to, we'll put this up.
Okay.
We can probably link to this on our website, so we'll do that at beyondsundaypodcast.com. You can find that in our show notes for this episode.
If you're on Instagram, you can find world_record_egg.
World_record_egg.
Yep.
On Instagram.
And you can
You heard it here, probably last.
Yes.
Interesting.
One day in the future, we'll talk about social media, I think. We've talked about a little bit about technology, but we've not really branched into social media.
Sure.
And how it's good and bad.
Because we are neither social nor media.
No. So. Yes.
As we podcast.
All right, but let's get to some Christian cliches. Mm-hmm. All right, so
I'm going to try to work in as many cliches under the radar just in my everyday speech in this episode as we go. Is that cool?
I'll just work in a bunch of egg puns for you.
You do egg puns, and I'll do cliches.
Yeah.
So let's.
And I'm just going to sit here and listen to both of you.
And Katie will say the same word twice.
Let's let's grab the bull by the horns and let's get going.
Excellent.
Sorry, I clapped.
Clap, clap. All right.
Oh, we have too much fun here, people.
All right. So
pull yourself up by your bootstraps. There, Patrick. Yeah. Go.
Pastor David, I think you're going to start us off here.
Oh, I'm going to start us off?
Yeah, I think so. We talked about that.
We said I was going to talk. We didn't say when.
All right.
So, So Christian cliches, I mean, we think about this, right? These are things that we hear people say to us or through us. We've probably said some of them ourselves.
I'll give an example.
Some of them. Yeah.
So that we can get on.
Yeah, that's helpful.
So, a good example of this is when God closes a door, he opens a window.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is something where this does not occur in scripture, right? It's not like we're citing Isaiah chapter 9, verse 42 says, when God closes a door, God opens a window. That's not in scripture. And the kind of theological implications of it are sketchy at best. Sometimes downright inaccurate. Other times I think it's even dangerous or harmful. But there are things that we say so frequently that it kind of has just become a part of our culture, and we say them without even thinking about it. Like how I'm sure all of us have at one point heard or said ourselves, oh, when God closes the door, he opens a window, as a way of just kind of saying, hey,
sure.
You know, there's more chances out there. This isn't the end of the road, which are all true things, that's not necessarily how we think God operates in the world. So we want to talk about some of those cliches that we think are particularly harmful and perhaps dangerous to how Christianity and how our faith is being portrayed in the world at large. That's kind of our goal for the day. One of the places that I experience this most frequently, and this is, you know, probably telling of my work as a pastor, I spend a lot of time with people who are in grief over illness or over a death of a loved one, you know, but all different stages and styles of grief. And man, do the cliches come out of the woodwork when we are dealing with grief. Like everybody, you just go stand at a funeral and just, if you've not been this person, just stand next to the person who's like at a receiving line of the at a funeral, and you can just hear the people down the line, like just one after another saying, oh, you know, so-and-so's in a better place, or oh, God has a plan for all things, or oh, you know, God, when God closes a door, God opens a window, right? All of these things come out. And, you know, a couple things here. We do believe, right, when we die, we go to a better place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not that that's wrong, but it's not comforting. It's not it's not necessarily reassuring to the person who is in the depth of grief here. You know, to hear God has a plan for all things, right? Yeah, in theory, I do believe that that's true. But explain to me how my 9-year-old getting cancer and dying is a part of God's plan.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah, these things come from, I think, a well-meaning place.
Sure.
Probably most of these cliches. They come from a well-meaning yet simple place. Like they're trying to take complex theological or emotional or spiritual ideas and simplify them so that we can kind of just say them in passing to one another or an easy, digestible way.
Yeah.
Because that is tough, right? Like, because saying, I do think God is in control of the universe,
right?
Has a hand in what is happening here on earth.
Yep.
And yet, does that mean God wanted my son to get cancer?
Right.
And that is a tough to kind of process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you know, my spouse to die in a car accident or mm-hmm. you know, whatever sure. the tragedy is, mm-hmm. right? You
yeah.
You can't justify to me that the only way for God to accomplish God's work in this world was to cause tragedy in my life.
Yes. Well, God does work in mysterious ways.
Ooh, you beat me to it. yeah, there's another one. We don't understand the ways that God works.
Uh-huh.
But theologically, we also believe in a God who is loving, who is compassionate, mm-hmm. who is generous, who wants the best for us. And I can't believe that it's just because God has a plan that terrible things happen.
Sure.
Right? That does not sit with me theologically, because I think God is richer and deeper and more loving and compassionate mm-hmm. than that. I think terrible things happen because we live in a world in which terrible things happen. Sure. Right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. is the world in which we find ourselves. And God is present in those moments, mm-hmm. right? And so for me, you know, if you want to think of, well, what do I say to someone who's going through this? For me, it's much more helpful to think about how is God present with this mm-hmm. person, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, the reminders of, hey, I am with you. God is with you. The mm-hmm. community is with you. You're not going through yeah. this alone, right? And at some point, those will probably become cliches too, because yeah. that's what happens. You say something over and over and it becomes a cliche. But I find that much more compassionate and much more mm-hmm. meaningful to think about God's presence in these yeah. moments, rather than trying to, in the depths of someone's grief, explain to them why they shouldn't be sad.
Yeah.
I think it dismisses
yes.
their feelings, like yeah. completely and totally, like just, oh, what you're feeling, it's fine, you'll be fine, it'll be yeah. great. You know, I mean, that obviously they're in hurting right now and they're going through grief, and we need to acknowledge that. And if you need anything, I'm here for you, or, you yeah. know.
Sure. Well, yeah. in that process, they themselves will be asking major theological questions.
Absolutely. Right.
And we're trying to slap a Band-Aid
right.
on those big wounds that mm-hmm. have been deeply cut to the core mm-hmm. of who we are.
Yeah.
And to try to, like, dismiss some of that. Mm-hmm. Like, to say, like, mm-hmm. oh, if I just cling to this idea that God has a plan in this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then that will just make everything else go away. Right. And maybe even in mourning, people are hoping to cling to that idea.
Sure.
Right. This makes me think of God doesn't give us more than we can handle. I mean,
there's another good one. Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. right now, what if right now I can't handle it? Like, yeah. I yeah. cannot do this by myself or alone, or I need, you know, I
sure.
mean.
Sure. Well, I think, yeah. and that's another one that I think comes from a well-meaning place, but I think actually has the exact opposite mm-hmm. of what Scripture does tell us
mm-hmm. right.
is this idea that God doesn't give you more than we can handle. The very nature of why Jesus had to come to earth is because we could not handle it.
Right.
Like, there was issues right. in our relationship with God that we could not handle.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed God to fix those relationships on God's half.
Yeah.
Right.
He needed to come in and do it himself.
Kind right. of thing.
Yeah. And that one, you know, God gives us, or God won't give us more than we can handle, is one that I find particularly treacherous because it is rooted in kind of a misinterpretation, poor interpretation of Scripture.
Yes.
And so it's yeah. coming from, and I forgot to look this up beforehand, but Corinthians, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You know, God will not give you more than you can bear, and when it becomes too much, God will provide a way out for you.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. I'm, you know.
Centered around temptation.
Right, centered yeah. around temptation. And so there's an element there that I'm like, yes, but that doesn't mean that you have to do it alone.
Right.
It doesn't mean that God expects you to just stand up and, again, pull yourself up by your bootstraps mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, you don't have to bear this cross on your own.
There's right.
another good mm-hmm. one we can throw out there. Right? That is not the call that Paul is giving us either.
Yeah.
And we just have taken that and cheapened it in some mm-hmm. ways. And, yeah. And, you know, Patrick, to get back to what you were saying about slapping a Band-Aid on it, I think oftentimes we use these cliches to protect ourselves in our own moments of discomfort,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if we're talking about, you know, throwing something out in somebody else's grief. When your grief makes me uncomfortable, or when your grief makes me challenge my stance or question my theology, I throw something out there mm-hmm. because of my discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it might not be a conscious thing, but I think that that's where we find ourselves all the time. Like, I'm falling back on this because I need this.
Sure.
And I'm just throwing mm-hmm. something out because yeah. I feel like mm-hmm. you know, social pressure says I have to say
right.
yeah.
something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we definitely, you know, consider see a lot of these cliches around grief
sure.
and what that looks like. There's definitely other cliches that we were going to look at today, too. Katie, you made a whole list for us.
You did.
And instead of just reading this list, why don't you pick a couple that we can kind of explore together?
And then I'm going to try to use the rest of them throughout our conversation.
Okay. Yeah. There are two that
Which came first, the list or the... No, wait.
The chicken or the egg?
Yeah, I was trying to make that. It didn't work. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. All right.
So there are two that I see a lot, I hear a lot.
Yeah.
One is this, I'm blessed. Like everything, hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
Sure.
Or
all green lights on the way to work. Hashtag
right.
blessed.
Right. I know. Yep. I mean.
Too blessed to be stressed.
Come on.
Got my chai latte grande for whatever. Hashtag blessed.
Right. Yep. Sure. I mean, is that truly like, is that a blessing?
Is that the measure of
blessing?
Like,
is that what what we're measuring our blessings by? Like, you know, it's just everywhere. And I think it's just overdone. It's not, there's nothing special about that anymore.
It's the new version of Tebowing. You guys remember Tebowing? So when Tim Tebow was a quarterback for University of Florida, and then had a less than impressive career in the NFL before. I think now he's like a commentator or something. But you know, he would kneel after getting a touchdown. And,
sure.
And, you know, good for him. You know, if he wants to take a moment to thank God for in that moment for the gifts or whatever he has, great. Good on you.
Sure.
But then it became this thing of like, oh, well, we're all going to, you know, every time we're going to do something, we're going to Tebow and we're going to, you know, take that kneeling pose or whatever. It's the, you know, same idea now of, oh, well, hashtag blessed.
And,
in things that... I don't know. I really don't think God's that concerned with whether or not I get green lights on my way
now,
to work.
I do think probably many people that are saying that somewhat ironically. That they are using that as a way of like this idea that they've seen it so many times over these things that were not real blessings. Or they're like, does that really line up with how I read scripture, how I see God? And so they're kind of using it ironically. I don't think anybody necessarily, or I don't think very few people are saying, I got a coffee from Starbucks today, therefore I know I am blessed by God. I mean, maybe...
That's reasonable. But I think that we still use blessing and blessed in a way that demeans the blessing that God offers us, right?
Sure.
So, you know, Amanda and I were recently back home with our families, and we had the opportunity at the time to share some exciting news that Amanda was pregnant. And so we're sharing this with our families. And of course, my mother, God love her, talks about how blessed we are, which, yeah, in that moment, I agree. We are blessed to be able to have this opportunity to bring another child into the world. But at the same time, describing that situation through like terms of blessing makes us have to ask, well, what does that mean if I'm not able to bring a child into the world?
Sure.
Right? What does it mean for people who are struggling with that, who are unable or unwilling, maybe? I don't know what that might be. But, you know, when we talk about blessing, it's that danger of, well, what does that mean for people who are not fitting that category? And I think that we use blessing in the culture as a way to define what we think is good and right.
Sure.
And then we box other people out of that category.
It definitely comes from, I think, poor theology. And this is the theology of, like, because I am a follower of Jesus, blessings will be a part of that following.
Right.
And I think that really comes from very poor theology, or like a really poor interpretation of how the Christian life is supposed to look and what scripture says, you know. And I think we ourselves as Christians sometimes lean into that, whether intentionally and sometimes maybe unintentionally, because I'm a follower of Jesus, my life should be more blessed than if I was not a follower of Jesus.
Right. Which is not biblically accurate.
Yeah.
All right, all the original disciples of Jesus were killed except for one.
Sure.
So
hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed, right? Yeah, that was Peter's famous last words as he hung upside down on a cross. Yeah. Hashtag blessed.
Did he get a Starbucks though?
Probably not.
All green lights.
Are we going to hell for that?
On the way to his crucifixion.
Thank God we believe in grace.
I'm sending this one out.
Yeah.
All right, what else do we have?
Okay, watch the lightning bolts, Katie. The other one dangerous. That I see
That's
a lot.
That's another cliche right there.
So. The other one I see a lot. And I see it on social media often. Like if somebody, you know, asks for prayers for something or something is happening in their life and you see a comment, I'll pray for you. Or I'll pray about it. Or
I'll pray about it, yeah.
You know, like... Are we actually doing that?
Yeah.
I think that's the question. Like, we can tell people all day long, oh, I will pray for you.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
And But are we like, is that happening? Mm-hmm. Like, are we just mm-hmm. saying it? And then, because that's the Christian response yeah. and that's what we should be saying, but are we actually doing it?
And I think it comes into question, like, I'm questioning whether or not we are actually doing that because I know I am not
right.
doing that.
Right.
Like, I have data that I have said I'll pray about it and then did not pray
right.
about it.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Actual statistics.
Yeah.
My own personal...
right, absolutely. Yeah. Guilty here too.
So.
You know?
Yeah, I had a friend who's getting married at another church and they were waiting to find out how much it was going to cost to use this particular sanctuary and everything like that. And the pastor hadn't gotten back to them in a couple months. And they finally like asked again, and the pastor's response was, "Oh, council is still praying about it." Which, just FYI, that's code for the pastor forgot to ask council right. about it completely. And so, yeah, we use that praying yeah. about it as an excuse all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And whether we intend to use it as an excuse, I think that we say it genuinely,
right?
But then, do we follow through? Do
right.
we take that action sure. to take that seriously?
And I think this can come from a couple places. So one is like if we're asked, "Hey, do you want to do blank?" and we say, "I'll pray about it," right. which is what you should do. But in some ways, it's like if you get an invite for something on Facebook and uh-huh. you click maybe,
right.
which is a polite
right.
no.
Like,
like I will certainly not be there, but I will say maybe.
I will, yeah. I will think that yeah, or let you think that I'm supporting you, even though yeah. I know that I'm not going
so
to.
So sometimes we'll use "I'll pray about it" as yeah. a polite
yes.
no.
Sure. Right.
Like
sure.
the answer was no, but I don't want to say no right,
right.
now.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, obviously we should be going to prayer with these things. And
right.
so
prayer is not a cliche.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's
be clear about that.
It's the polite no. Yeah. I'll pray about it.
Yeah. Well, and we see that after, like, you know, every single tragedy yeah. now, right? It's, as soon as something's up on up in the news, it's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's Instagram, whatever, praying for whatever, praying for the. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. I think we should be.
Yeah.
But I'm less concerned with whether or not you're telling me on Facebook that you're mm-hmm. praying about it and more concerned with whether or not you are actually
absolutely
praying about
for
it.
For sure. And I think that is another way we use that is somebody gives us news or they have a story that's hard or difficult yeah. and "I'll pray for you" is a good way to kind of put it period at the end
right.
of that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a good way to stop and say, like, "This is what I'll do," so that we don't have to talk about
right,
this.
Cause right, because I'm uncomfortable.
I don't have to deal with this in a real way.
Right.
So, yeah,
yeah,
like, something bad has happened. Let's pray about it is a good, I don't have to deal with it.
Right.
Sure.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
prayer's awesome. We should all be more engaged in prayer.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Probably for all of us could be more engaged
yes.
in our prayer life.
Right.
But I think talking about prayer versus
mm-hmm.
doing the prayer
right.
is where we get
and
in trouble.
If we want to, like, just take that one step further, in that moment when you're tempted to say, "I will pray for you," what would it look like to say, "Let's pray.
Yeah.
Right now. Stop what we're doing.
Yeah,
let's just do right
let's
now.
Let's pray about this,"
sure.
right? And, yeah, that's really, it's hard, especially for people within our culture of Lutheranism,
mm-hmm.
right? We're big fans of the scripted prayer.
Yeah,
right?
we don't pray on our own. Like,
yeah.
What?
Very few
what
extemporaneous
if I mess up?
Prayers.
Right, that is not a piece of our ritual or our
nope.
history. I mean, I have a whole book called the Pastoral Care book. It's actually called something else now. They renamed it. Anyway, but it has, like, prayer after prayer after prayer for all these different situations you
mm-hmm.
might find yourself in. So, like, you can flip through and you have, like, oh, a prayer for when a child dies, a prayer for when an older person dies, a prayer for when life-sustaining care has ended, a prayer for when conversations about a will is happening, a prayer for adoption, a prayer for... It's
oh
like,
gosh.
You never have to think. You can just
yeah.
flip through this book and you
subject
can find the prayer.
Subject index.
Right.
Here we go.
Exactly. And it really is that simple. And
right.
So I get that it can be uncomfortable for us to
sure.
pray, but I think that it's an appropriate challenge to say, rather than telling someone, "I will pray for you," saying, "Can we pray about this?" Right? And they might say no, and that's fine. They might not be in a place where they want to pray about it, but
yeah.
taking that step, I think, would be a mm-hmm. a worthwhile task.
Well, I have a few here.
All right.
As we're moving on to new cliches.
Sure.
I think the worst cliches
uh-huh.
are cliches that rhyme.
Is that because you're anti-rhyme?
No, I love rhyme. You know, I think it's great.
I was trying to think of a rhyme to rhyme with that, and it didn't work.
To rhyme with rhyme?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. I can't rhyme with rhyme.
Lime.
Because I'm out of
lime.
Time.
Yes. Oh, in time. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Grime.
I'm out of time for this rhyme.
Yes.
I need to get a lime.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Crime.
Crime.
There's a lot of crime.
This was a crime, so. All right. But yeah, ones that rhyme are pretty bad, so.
Yeah.
Where God guides, God provides.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, again, theologically, like, I get the roots of it.
Sure.
But this takes me back to, I reference this movie all the time. Have you guys ever seen Facing the Giants?
No.
No, but you've
It's a football movie. Yes. And this every single time. There's a scene in this movie where the coach of this football team is suddenly says, oh, we should be praying more. We should be following God more. And miraculously, they all become really great football players, right?
Because that's how it works.
That's how it works. And so one day...
God works in mysterious ways.
Nice. So one day, this coach is like, the family is really hard up on money and they're having financial stress and the truck or his truck breaks down and I don't remember if, transmission's gone or something, but, it's beyond being worth the repair. And so he's praying so hard. He's up all night. He's praying about it. And he wakes up the next morning and a brand new shiny truck shows up in his driveway. Right?
That's how it works.
Because that's how it works. Because God called him to lead this football team into greatness and to teach them how to pray. And so now God's going to give you a bright, shiny new truck. Mm. And like... I get that God provides, but sometimes God provides a beat up piece of junk that just barely has four wheels and a motor, right? And that's okay too. Like I think we just have to get out of that.
It's our what we want God to provide.
Yeah.
I mean, if God guides you to a new job, and your pay just got cut in half, but he's providing you an opportunity to learn something, that might not be what you were hoping he was providing you.
Sure. Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's...
Yeah, I was I was listening to another podcast, because that's what you do when you're on a podcast, by a guy named Rob Bell, who's an author and speaker. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about resilience and how essentially, like, it's this notion for him that there's this thing that if you don't do it, you will die.
Yeah.
And like you just have to go back to this thing. Like there's a thing in all
of us.
I was like
breathing?
No, not breathing. There's a thing in all of us where if we're not living into that fully, then like spiritually, emotionally, mm-hmm. we're just slowly dying. Mm-hmm. But like there's this one, and
gift.
We're going to get into that in a minute, but there's like this thing that's just the gift that we just have to do this thing. And like when we do that, I do believe God provides mm-hmm. because that's going to be hard and there are going to mm-hmm. be challenges and struggles, and if we're living faithfully into who we're called mm-hmm. to be, I do believe God provides, but it's not going to look
like we
like
want
what
to.
We always wanted
sure.
to, right
like yeah. God guided, as we mentioned earlier, 11 disciples
right
to their death,
right? Yeah. Exactly. Like, they did exactly, they could not do anything else, right? They'd seen the resurrected Christ. They had to go out and share the story. Mm-hmm. They knew they would probably be killed for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And still God provided for them, and still they died.
Sure.
Because, hey, we're also all going to die.
Well, if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it.
Katie, what do you got on that one?
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to take a step back.
I don't even know. Like, I think back to Bible studies we've had mm-hmm. with you, Pastor David, and sometimes when God gives you something, I'm thinking of like a dark time or a time mm-hmm. where it's not all sunshine and roses. And sometimes,
so Tuesdays.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So... sometimes you have to just sit in that for a little bit.
Yeah.
And you'll come out. You're going to come out some way.
Sure.
You are going to come through it.
Yeah.
But, again, is it the way we see that we're going to come through it?
Right.
Are we going to be changed in a way that we don't want to be changed?
Yeah, all of us in some way, shape, or form have gone through it in our lives. And the through it is in quotes here. Because we're here. We're still alive.
Right.
We're still keep on going with our lives.
Right.
So we've in some way, shape, or form have gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that just... Again, this idea, I think it brings a lot. One, that God is bringing you grief and suffering, which may mm-hmm. or may not be true. And then in the midst of our grief and suffering, there's easy answers to get through the mm-hmm. grief and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that may or may not be true as well. And so I think, again, it just kind of, one, diminishes grief and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it always suggests that if you just add blank mm-hmm. to this... You're mm-hmm. going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you just add one thing or mm-hmm. a very simplified path to getting through it.
Right.
Yeah.
Another one we should stop saying is that one.
Yeah.
Like
what?
If God, what was it? Guides you to it. He'll lead you through it.
Yeah. Right. That's why it's on the list.
I know. I'm like, ugh.
That's what we're talking about.
I know. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yuck. I don't like that one. I think that's my least favorite. So
yeah.
Far.
And it's like, look at the story of Job, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Job has all this wealth. Oh, Job. All this wealth, all this stuff, and loses it all.
Mm-hmm.
And Job's friends show up, and for the first couple chapters, just sit with him.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's the best thing they do.
Yeah. In the entire book. Yeah, they spend the rest of the book spouting cliches, right. Whatever the ancient Hebrew cliche right. was. Yep. That's what they're throwing out there. But yeah, they get there and they just sit because they know mm-hmm. like there's no changing this. There's no moving yep. through this. It's just we've got to be here. And so they sit mm-hmm. in ashes mm-hmm. With Job for, I think, a couple days yeah. before they speak. Yeah.
Real quick, Katie, you want to give us one more for us to look
oh,
at?
Oh, do I?
Yeah. You have the list.
I know I do. Love the sinner, hate the sin.
Ooh. Hmm. Okay.
I know. Yeah. Just, what?
All right. So this has definitely been said a lot by mm-hmm. Christians. And I yeah. think this is probably coming out relatively modern, I think, like mm-hmm. within the last 30 so years, mm-hmm. Probably in response to a greater understanding culturally of what it means to be gay.
Yes. Yeah.
This is kind of the Christian response mm-hmm. to it. Yeah, and in yeah, some well, churches, yeah. maybe the best Christian response, and it's still pretty bad.
Yeah.
yeah. Right. It's yeah. But this was kind of their best foot forward in right. response to what does it look like to do ministry to the homosexual community.
Yeah. And like, I mean, this can take us down a whole nother path as well. Like, I think at its core, there's good in the sentiment sure. of the statement, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if you are an alcoholic and you beat your wife, right? I want to share the love of Christ with you.
Yeah.
I do not want you to think that I love your behavior mm-hmm. Or that it is okay for you to continue that.
Yeah.
But I think that it has been used, as you were describing, particularly within the LGBTQ community, to basically say, well, you're kind of like second-class Christians.
Sure.
Like, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. we really don't like that mm-hmm. part about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess you can be around because we're supposed to love you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's just like, well, no thanks.
Right. right.
Yeah.
I think it comes to a place, and your example of, like, maybe alcoholism is it's that is a sin, you know, a sin that's easy to divide person from sin.
Yeah.
Sure.
That I love you as this person, and I do not love and accept what you do
right.
in your own family.
But being gay is a part of who you are. You yeah. can't right. separate those two yeah. things. And that, yeah.
Yeah, well, and so that creates a new right. culturalist yeah. understanding that didn't exist really, you
50
know,
years ago.
Yeah, 50 years right. ago. Yeah. That idea of, like, there is no, I'm not doing homosexual things.
Right.
Right. That is who I am. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
and so you can't separate me from that.
Right.
That's part of me.
Yep.
Yeah. In the same way that myself as a straight man, you can't separate my own sexual identity from who I am.
Mm-hmm.
They right. are linked.
Yes.
Intrinsically, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that I think where it really falls apart mm-hmm. is yes. when it's applied yep. and it's almost entirely applied
now,
to yeah. the LGBTQ mm-hmm. community.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably the one place where it can't be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Or at least where it's most dangerous to do so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's where the theology falls apart.
Sure.
Yeah. It's done so much damage. I mean,
yes, sure. It has.
It's just, it's everywhere. It's on mm-hmm. college campuses. It's in, you know, high school ministries. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. Yeah. And it's, again, sentiment, I understand, but really just dangerous. And how it cheapens our understanding of personhood and identity, and yes. how it cheapens our understanding of sin, frankly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just all around.
Well, maybe they need to take a look at that it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. We don't have to get into that one. That one's pretty stupid.
Yeah. But it does rhyme. So
it does rhyme. It's one of my rhyming ones that I hate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was Adam and Eve. It was not Adam and Steve.
That's typically how procreation works.
That was true. I don't even have words.
I don't either.
It's just like, so like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that one, like, that one's not even coming from a place of, like, good intentions.
Yeah.
Like, that one is just,
that's just awful.
It's spouted to be hurtful and yes. hateful. Like, that, yeah, that's, yeah, that, it comes from that place. Yeah. yeah and that,
yeah. Yeah, I'd like to give the benefit of the doubt to many people who say love the sinner, hate the sin.
Right,
of, like,
yeah.
They're wanting to seek out ways to reconcile loving
yes.
a community that they have not done historically a good job of loving, and they're trying to figure that out. I'd like to think that this other one is basically, how can we just poke fun and insult?
Yeah.
You know, right. And so that one's pretty gross.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But it does rhyme.
But it does rhyme, so I wanted to throw in one more rhyme.
Irritatingly catchy. Yeah.
Yes. So I have one more, and
all right.
this is a cliche that I hate. I think is really damaging for us as Christians. Maybe you can disagree with me, but that's okay.
No,
and it's not necessarily a phrase, but it's this idea of the one. All right, and this is
clarify that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this could be a lot of things. One, it could be.
One.
Yeah. So I think one, we plate this on relationships that I'm searching for
the one. Yep.
I'm looking for a career that it's the one path or the one thing that God desires for me in this world. Mm-hmm. There's one mission that I'm supposed to accomplish in my lifetime. There's just one goal that I'm all my life has been leading to blank. And this is the one. This one moment, one person, one career, one mission. This is the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I think it's real damaging.
And, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. And I think it's real bad. Like, I think it does. I think it really leads us to a place that I don't think is in any way founded in Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Sure. There's no evidence in Scripture that God has won anything for people.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so, but this is very prominent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think this is, you know, even in my college growing up, I went to a Christian campus and there was a lot of talk of, well, you just have to find the one.
Absolutely.
The one God has planned for you.
Yep.
And then
everything's going to fall into place. It's going to be magical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's the one. If it's not magical, because then it's God not the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's where we really get into the problems of like, yeah, if I found the one, everything would be fixed in my life.
Yep.
Things would just click into place. Mm-hmm. That it's a whirling, you know, a bag of puzzle pieces, and I throw in this one piece, and everything just falls together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's never happened in the history of people.
Well, like, well, and what happens when the one turns out to be abusive, right?
Sure.
Like, oh, it was magical, and well, I don't know. I guess I just have to... God will bring me through it, right? Like, God brought me to this, and so God will bring me through this. Like, it just piles on top of one another. And it's, we get trapped in that. It's dangerous.
Yeah. Or this idea of, or even not necessarily abusive.
Sure.
What happens if you find the one, and it just gets stale?
Yeah.
And you just have a period or season in your marriage and in your life where you're like, well, we're just not clicking. And I find this new person at work or that I meet, and we click better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fun, and it's exciting, it's new. It's like it used to be with this person. Mm-hmm. Therefore, this is the one.
Yeah.
I was wrong, now I'm right.
Or what happens when I still think that you're the one, but you don't think I'm the one anymore?
Or maybe I never thought you were the one.
Right, that could be too. Like, what happens there? Yeah, is everybody's one?
Sure.
Reciprocated.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we've all only got one, so it's just got to go around. I don't know. It's a weird.
Yeah. Or what happened?
Chasing a tail.
Yeah. If she was the one, but she died in a car accident, what do I do with the rest of my life?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, well, I guess I'm just killing time till heaven because, you know, like that was it.
Right.
You know, I think there is maybe a one, and that's the one you married, and you just make it work.
Right.
Like, and you seek out how is this person the right person right now? Even if sometimes I don't enjoy this person. Sometimes this person frustrates me, but we've made a commitment to one another and we're going to figure out how to make those things worth in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean if there's abuse on any level that we just accept that because we got married. But it is this idea of like sometimes relationships are hard and that does not mean this person is not a person that you will.
You know, when you talk to couples who have been married 65 years, right?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't stay married 65 years because when they were 17, they knew they found the one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They stayed married 65 years because they went through it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they figured out life together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the hard work. And I think what you're getting at, Patrick, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the one really is cheapening that hard work of being in a relationship with another person.
Yeah, I agree. It sets it up that it should be easy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's never going to be.
Nope.
And I think biblically, again, if you look at biblical marriages and relationships, there's really not any that you and your spouse would be like, we really want to emulate that. That's the one that like, oh, I see it. I see it in Scripture.
Yeah.
I see how it played out. We just got to do that together.
You mean you don't want to emulate Abraham telling people that Sarah was his sister?
Yeah, and or she probably David slept with these Egyptian.
Right, yeah. You don't want to emulate David sleeping with Bathsheba and then having his husband killed in battle?
For sure. Yeah.
You don't want, that's not how you guys model your marriage? That's what I do in premarital counseling with people. I lift those up. I'm like, sure. Guys, here's. Yeah.
How'd you meet? Did you see her bathing on the rooftops?
All right. Yeah. You're in it to win it. Good work.
Because yes. If you've not done that yet. Yeah.
In it to win it. There's another one. That's
I definitely think that, and not just in relationship, but I think we can dumb it down to like, oh, my career's too hard. What is the one thing God wants me to do? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that ever exists. Because what happens if you do the one thing God wants you to do and you live another 40 years?
Yeah.
Where you're like, well, I guess I just kill time until heaven.
Yeah.
You know, like, here it is.
Well, and we put so much pressure on our youth to figure that out, too. Yeah. I mean, like, you, at this point, right, you're expected to know, like, your freshman year of high school what the one thing is you want to do with the rest of your life so that you can tailor make your high school career to set up your college career, to set up your career.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous. I mean, I had a sense of what I wanted to do in high school. I figured more things out in college. I'm still figuring it out now. But there are also elements, there are elements of it that I know if I was not doing this, I would not be living life, I would not be receiving life the way that I'm receiving, right, for right now in my life, preaching is something that brings me joy.
Sure.
You know, the opportunity to stand in front of a group of people and proclaim the goodness of God brings me joy in my life. And it's hard, and sometimes I hate it, and we're recording this on a Wednesday, which is usually the day of the week when I say I have nothing useful to say ever again in the world. But I know that that in the end, I am called to do this thing.
Sure.
And somehow or another for the rest of my life, I'm confident that I will be doing this thing because I believe it's a piece of who I am. But that's going to change and mold and shift. It was not like one thing that I knew forever and ever. Amen. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah. And I would definitely maybe even challenge that and say, like, if you did decide to go into a career in biology or teaching, you could find equal joy and happiness.
Yeah.
You know, potentially those things could be down that path as well. That's not, I don't think there's one path that God has laid out for each and every one of us. Because some of those paths we saw in, we talked about grief. What is the path? What is the one thing for that 9-year-old with cancer?
Right.
You know, what is the calling there?
Yeah.
And, you know, if somebody dies when they're a child, does their one spouse just never get married because they were supposed to get married? You know, that's just, again, or yeah, if your spouse dies when you're young. And I think it just takes away this idea of like, I think there is a one, and I think that one is Jesus. You know, like the one is Jesus to come into all our lives, to make things better, to make things help click, that there is that thing, and that is just not going to be found in another person. And I think it's unfair to put that on another person, that you're supposed to fix me, is I think what it comes down to.
Right.
And that's just an impossibility that they cannot do.
Yep.
And you're always setting yourself up for failure. Or this one job is supposed to fix me. And that just can't happen.
Hear, hear.
All right. Those are our Christian cliches.
Yeah. Hopefully we did some good. We'll see. Yeah. And, you know, again, if you're using these in good faith, like, take the time to think through what you're saying. And, you know, take a minute to ponder, what does it mean for me when I say that I'll pray for something? Or when you know, what do I mean when I'm saying I believe that when God takes you to it, God will take you through it? Like, what do I mean when I say that to someone? And maybe take the time to explain what you mean rather than just throwing out this platitude, this cliche. It might be a more meaningful way to enter into conversation with other people. I think that'll be a helpful thing for us to take away from this.
Yes.
It's definitely sometimes hard theological concepts can be very scrambled in our heads.
Yep.
And we want to make them over easy. And these cliches.
And we'd prefer them over hard.
Yes, hard boiled.
Oh, goodness.
I like all my cliches sunny side up.
It all comes back to the egg.
That's right.
World record egg.
Eggstagram.
Right. We didn't talk about this beforehand. Who's doing a recommendation?
That's an excellent question. We had great recommendations from our special guests last week, Matt and Jen. Again, another shout out to them. Thanks for coming on. We loved having you with us. Patrick, I think you've got a recommendation for us today.
Oh, do I?
I'm pretty confident.
All right, I do, actually. I am reading a book right now that I really like that is by a pastor from New York called Tim Keller. Are you familiar with Tim Keller?
I am.
Yeah, he's a Presbyterian guy. He's written a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of different kinds of books. And I'm reading a book by him all about Jonah called Prodigal Prophet.
Nice.
And he had written a book several years ago called Prodigal God that was basically all about the tale of the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. And I think right before I came here to Lord Alive, they did a series of that through their Lent. So they had interacted with Prodigal God. And I love Prodigal God. I think it's a great book. If you want to understand the story of the prodigal son, that's a great resource to kind of delve into. And Prodigal Prophet is all about Jonah. And it's all about kind of how Jonah engages the world and how we can help model those things. And how that can be drawn into our political atmosphere, into our church atmosphere, into our social atmosphere. It's really interesting. And I think Jonah is probably my favorite book in the Old Testament anyway.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I love it. I think it's very, very interesting. It's very rich.
Are you on Jonah, Team Jonah, or are you on Team God?
Well, I'm on Team God. I'm not sure Jonah's really on Team Jonah.
That's fair. All right. We'll
I don't know. You know, he definitely has some strong issues.
He's got his stuff.
He's got some junk. If you've never read Jonah.
But God brought him to it. And so God brought him through it. Yes. And God had a plan. And God...
I guess all those cliches you could try to apply there.
You could do it all. and he ran away. There's a cliche in that, right? Like, don't run away, or don't be like Jonah, or...
Probably. Mm. Yeah, we can invent one, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll start our own cliche.
Yeah. If you also have never read the Book of Jonah, do it. It's only 4 chapters. It's real short.
That's like... an afternoon.
And it has a weird ending.
It does. Great weird ending.
Yeah.
Surprise. Don't want to spoil it, but it's a good one. Yeah. All right, so that's it for us from us here at Beyond Sunday. Be sure to check us out at our website, www.beyondsundaypodcast.com, where you can find all of our episodes and exclusive website-only content. We'll be sure to link to the Eggstagram and
World Record Egg
and all that there at the website. You can also check us out on our Facebook page at Beyond Sunday Podcast on Facebook. Check us out there.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us. We hope you found today's conversation.
You're trying to think of another cliche, aren't you?
I are an egg pun, yes. Eggceptional. Yes.
All right, let's just hit stop right there. Y'all have a great day.